Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
As I mentioned to you a few days ago, I started reading out of this book, my book, 30 Days of Rest. And we're on day six, but I'm actually going to skip day six and come back to that another time. And it's a great, day six is great, but I want to go to day seven. And this is a little devotional I put together a few years ago. And again, you know, post your question. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want to ask anything, I'd love to answer it live right now if we get a chance. But, you know, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Joseph's brothers, you know, sold him, threw him in a pit, then sold him into slavery. And you know that Genesis 39 verse 2 says, Joseph was thrown into a pit and he was sold into slavery, but God was with him. So he became a prosperous man. You see, God's presence and your awareness that God is with you is the difference between lack and abundance. It's the difference between fear and faith. It's the difference between worry and confidence. Is knowing that God is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. God, for thou art with me. David personalized. He was writing it personally, and you can personalize it by saying, for thou art with me. Lord, you are with me. God is with you. And therefore, you don't have to fear. In the presence of evil, he prepares a table for us. This is one of the things I really wanted to get to. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, not in the absence of our enemies. We don't need all our enemies to be absent in order for us to be at the table. He said he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. This is not talking about heaven. God prepares a table for us now in the presence of the virus. We have to learn to rejoice anyway. We have to learn how to have a good time anyway. It's not, you can be sad for people that are suffering. You can do good things for those that are suffering. You can do your part for those that are suffering. And you can sing at the same time. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can be aware how serious this problem is. And at the same time, you can be aware of how great God is and how good God is going to be to you. And you can be aware of the peace that passes understanding, the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. So before I take a couple questions, I want to just finish that thought, that concept about Joseph, who sold into slavery, then he's put in prison after he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and now he's in prison, and they call on him because he interprets the two men's dreams, the cupbearer and the baker are in the jail with Joseph, and he interprets their dreams. And then when one of them gets out, when the cupbearer gets out of jail, and they don't know what to do with the dreams that Pharaoh had, he says, oh, there was a guy in jail, and he interpreted my dreams. Maybe he can interpret yours. So he interprets Pharaoh's dream. You know the rest of the story. He saves the world by interpreting Pharaoh's dream and storing up grain in the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine. Well, that's why I'm preaching. I'm not asking God, oh God, what should I say in this time of crisis? God's told me to keep saying the things I was saying before the crisis, because everything that God has for us, everything that God tells us is to prepare us for something coming. God's not a reactionary God that, oh no, I just found out, we just found out in heaven there's a coronavirus. Okay, try this, or why don't you say this, or why don't you pray this? No, God sends the answer before the problem ever shows up. God sends the solution before the problem ever is revealed. God sends the scripture before we need it. He sends the promise before we need it. He gave us a book, for my church and this ministry and the people that I impact, he gave me a book to put together called 30 Days of Rest long before we needed this rest. Now we need it. He's storing up grain. We've been storing up things, whether it's money, whether it's understanding, whether it's knowledge, for such a time as this. So this crisis doesn't catch me by surprise, doesn't catch God by surprise, and it shouldn't catch you by surprise. So God knows what you need before you ask. God knows what you need before you need it. Okay, I really want you to have that kind of confidence and encourage you to have that kind of trust in God. And then I'll tell you one of the things, one of the most important things that I'm doing in this time that we're dealing with. But day 7 of my little book to prepare you and to give you the bread you need, it's called You Are On Top. This is going to give you faith and confidence and rest and peace. You are on top. The scripture I want to read is out of Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath. What an awesome description of our authority in this life. It should give us rest to know that we don't have to strive to get on top, to have dominion, to have authority, or to experience victory. We don't have to strive for that, because in Christ, we are already on top. We already have dominion over the enemy. We have the victory. Adam and Eve were given dominion when God created them and placed them in the Garden of Eden. They lost it all when they believed the lie of the enemy. They lost it all when they believed that they weren't like God, even though God had told them he made them in his image. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the enemy, and take the dominion back that was lost. Then he gives it to us. Let's live from the position of authority where life flows much easier. That's day 7 of our 30 days of rest. You are on top. You're the head and not the tail. You got to see yourself like God sees you. Don't see yourself like a grasshopper. Remember, the 10 spies said, we felt like grasshoppers in our own eyes, so we became like grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. How you see yourself is how the enemy is going to see you. How you see yourself is how the virus is going to see you. Why don't you see yourself on top? Because God says you are. You're more than a conqueror. I want you to see yourself. I just want you to give yourself permission to see yourself on top, not on the bottom anymore. You're the head and not the tail, above only. Not above some of the time, above only. I know this might sound like, oh, that's a nice pep talk. It's not a pep talk. It's a discovery of who you actually are. This is who you really are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, if you're not born again, get born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven until you're born again. It's not because you're so bad. It's because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God sends us Jesus so we can receive him into our life. We receive forgiveness through his blood and get a new heart, a new spirit, and a new beginning. And if you'd like to be born again, you'd like to know what it's about, if you are not born again, not sure you're going to heaven, call me, contact me. I'm going to send you this book, The Power of a New Life. I want to send it to you as my gift to you. Give us your information somehow. And it's all the next steps of the Christian life. It talks to you about what salvation is and how the new beginning of a new life and all the next steps for it, okay? It'll really bless you. If you're not sure you're saved, or if you want to get saved today, all you got to do is say, Jesus, I accept you. I receive your forgiveness for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I invite you in to my life as my Savior and my Lord. That's all it takes to be saved, okay? So if you prayed that prayer just now with me, get this book. I want to send it to you as my gift. All right, let me get to a couple questions and then I'll let you go and move on with your day, your lunch, your dinner, wherever you're doing. So Rose Ann from Instagram asked, I'm stuck in Dubai because of COVID. How can I remain strong? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, he says, I write to you, young men, because you're strong, because the word of God abides in you. What makes you strong is not your willpower. What makes you strong is not your talent, your skill. It's the Word of God abiding in you. It's understanding that we're weak, and when we're weak, we eat God's Word, which makes us strong, and we trust in God's grace, which gives us strength in the midst of our weakness. He said, when I am weak, Paul said, that's when I'm strong. That's when God's strength is in me. Like, accept your weakness. Accept your feeling helpless and receive God's grace, His gifts of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what makes us strong, is digesting God's Word and surrounding ourselves with strong people. Like, we're in this social distancing, but never has there been a greater opportunity to be socially connected by online connection and online church and online family and online moments like this. So be connected, trust God, fill yourself up on God's Word, connect with people in your church community, and know that admitting you're weak is not a weakness. Admitting you're weak is a strength, and that's when God's strength comes. God gives grace to the humble. We humbly invite God's help, and we invite God's grace. So I hope that helps, and thanks for reaching out to us from Dubai. Really appreciate that. Real quick, David from Facebook, do you think God allowed this pandemic? Okay, great question. You know, it depends how you use the word allowed. Is it from God? No. No disease, no sickness is from God. The only way to know the will of God is to look at the life of Jesus. The best way to get a clear picture of the will of God is to look at what Jesus did in the Bible. So every time he came in contact with a sick person, he healed them. Every time he came in contact with a demon-possessed person, he delivered them. Every time he came in contact with a hungry person, he fed them. You see, every time he came in contact with a condemned person, he forgave them. There's no inconsistency with Jesus' behavior. Zero inconsistency. It wasn't like one day he healed people that were sick and one day he made sick the people that were healthy. Nowhere in the Bible did he make anybody sick. Jesus made people healed. So did God allow this? Not in the sense that he wanted it or permitted it or was the creator or author of disease. Satan and sin, not your sin, but Adam and Eve's sin created disease in this world, broke the world and caused it to be vulnerable to disease, sickness, and viruses and all forms of evil. But I do want you to know what God does do in these moments is what, and you've heard me say it 1,000 times, what the enemy sends to defeat us, God bends to complete us. So God doesn't send this pandemic. He doesn't allow the pandemic. The broken earth allows the pandemic. The broken world allows the pandemic. A flawed world is ripe for demonic activity. But Jesus brings the answer to turn it into something good. God can intercept it and turn it. That's why the Bible says God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't cause all things, but he causes all things to work together for good. Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God bent it, or God sent it for good. God meant it for good. God turned it into something good. Okay, that's my take on that. Great question, David, and I hope that makes sense to you guys. 13 from Instagram, question, how do I forgive myself for my sin? How can I know for sure my sins are forgiven and that I'm saved from hell? What a great question. How do you forgive yourself, and how can you know that your sins are forgiven? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in 1 John chapter 5, I think it's verse 13, but the Apostle John says, I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things, John said, I write these things so that you would know that you have eternal life. You are already forgiven in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, He already washed away your sins. You're already forgiven. How can you know? Because the Bible says so. How can you know? Because Jesus died 2,000 years ago for our sins. That's where you get your assurance from. You get your assurance from the blood of Jesus. That's the seal. That's the guarantee. That's like signed in blood. That's Jesus' contract with you in his own blood, written in his blood. And we know we're forgiven because God said so many times in the Bible. How do you forgive yourself? Freely. Because God forgave you freely. Stop demanding of yourself certain things that you have to pay God back in order for you to feel forgiven. You are forgiven. He forgives you. If you believe in Jesus' blood shed for you, you're already forgiven. Now just forgive yourself as a gift. It's forgive. It's forgive. Or how about it's forgift? Because it's the same word. It's a gift. Forgiveness. The middle word, the middle part of that word is give. It's a gift. Give yourself the gift of forgiveness because God gives you the gift of forgiveness. And that's how we should forgive others. Not because they deserved it, but because we're giving them a gift. Hope that makes sense. Thanks. Great questions. Maybe one or two more questions we'll try to take, and then I'll wrap this up. But yeah, what do you got?
From Michelle, that's really awesome. Michelle from Facebook.
Okay. Michelle from Facebook, thanks for writing in. I've got four kids, and my husband died at age 30 in a car accident, and two of my sons are heroin addicts. I blame myself for that. Where did I go wrong? Well, again, you know, it's not, the question to ask is not where did I go wrong? The better question is where do I go from here? And that's the question that I think you should ask, not where did I go wrong? Because you can't fix what you already did, but you can change what you do. You got me? Like first of all, you got to forgive yourself. Goes along with the question earlier. You got to forgive yourself, Michelle. You got to know that God's not holding this against you. Why did your sons become heroin addicts? I mean, losing their father could be part of the reason. Not knowing, you know, the Bible says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we just don't know what to do as parents. I'm a parent, and there have been many times I didn't know what to do. I prayed, I asked God. Sometimes I had clarity, and sometimes you wing it. And you just can't beat yourself up anymore. Like, I want to release you. Like, I am gonna do something for you, Michelle. I release you from the shame and the blame that you have given yourself and you feel others have given you. I break the power of that. It's over. You're forgiven. Jesus' blood already washed this away. Pray for your sons. Send them posts like this so they can get set free from their addiction. Like, addiction is not a crime. Addiction is not something to be ashamed of. Addiction is something that you have to name it. You got to reveal it so God can heal it. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's something to get help for. So let's not treat people with addictions as if they, you know, as second class, like, oh, they're so weak. Hey, but for the grace of God, we'd all be there. And many of us have been. I've been addicted in the past. Many watching, you've had addictions in the past, or we are related to somebody or married to somebody or are the child of somebody or the parent of somebody who is going through that. Have mercy on those people and don't beat yourself up about it, okay? There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Just know that you're in Christ, Michelle, and there's no condemnation for you. I just pray you would accept the free gift of forgiveness and the free gift of forgiving yourself and the free gift of freedom from this shame and the blame that you feel. It's over. It's over. Don't listen to the lies anymore. Listen to God's love. Listen to God's love. Okay. Should we take one more? How can you heal? Tiffany said, how can you heal from anxiety? Jesus has given us a formula for anxiety. I know that it sounds so mechanical, but it's not. It's, you know, for those out there that believe in science, why can't we believe in the science of the Bible? The science of the Bible is great science. It's the best science. It's the best math. All have sinned. God sent Jesus. All are forgiven. That's the great equation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish. That's a great equation. God makes a trade. He takes your sin. He gives you his righteousness. That's an economic trade. That's a transaction. Anxiety, Philippians 4:6. How are we anxious for nothing? Take it to God in prayer. Hold on, you know, go to God with a promise from his word. Like, let's say you're anxious about your money. Take Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Let's say you're worried and anxious about money, just using that as an example. You can use it about anything. So I take a promise regarding my needs. My God, you said you will supply all my needs. I'm going to God in prayer. You said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And now I ask you for that and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. So when anxiety hits you, stop treating anxiety as a disease that you can never be healed from and start treating anxiety as a signal to pray. Ooh, I feel anxious. What do I do? Go to God with a promise. Lord, you said that by your stripes I'm healed. I'm worried about this sickness. You said by your stripes I'm healed. So I ask you for the manifestation of that healing and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And then you begin to think on the promises of God. Because God said the power over anxiety is go to God, ask God, thank him, and then think on these things. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Then think on these things. So it's praying, it's thanking him, and then it's filling your mind, flooding your mind with thinking on these things. These things. Okay, I got a couple more minutes. If you don't mind, I'll take a couple more questions real quick. Two more. Let me take two more, and we'll try to answer some more tomorrow. What is a good way to date in 2020? The same way that you dated in 2019. Like, go meet people, go online, find out people that are interested in the things you're interested in. Like, use the technology as another way to meet people. Don't make it the only way. Meet people in, like, well, obviously you can't meet people very much right now in social circles, but you can meet them online. So look, I'm not saying all online dating sites are, I don't endorse them all. I haven't studied any of them really, but I know that some are better than others. So find the best ones. Get your feet in the water. How do you date? Put your feet in the water and don't look for the perfect mate. Don't look for your perfect dove. Don't Wait, don't look for your soulmate. Look for somebody that's interested in having some coffee. Don't look for the perfect person. Look for a person who, you know, seems to share the interest in meeting you and having a sandwich with you. Like, don't go for the home run. Go for the singles. Go for the bunt. Some, you know, dating sometimes is bunting. So dating sometimes, yeah, you get a single. Sometimes you may feel, wow, I'm going to stretch this out and try to get a double. And then it doesn't end. Then you get thrown out at second base, right? Sometimes you hit it in the corner and you're running around the third and it's a triple. Like, wow, this might be the one. And then, you know, you're running home and, you know, the catcher knocks you down and, you know, you get a concussion. So just go for the bunt. Just try to get on base. Don't try to marry somebody tomorrow. Just get on base. Just try to get somebody to say hi to you. Just try to get somebody to give you a thumbs up once or twice. Like, just start small. That's my advice. So hope that helps. How can I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? We'll close with this. I hope that was fun and even a little bit of wisdom in that one. But how can I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? How does he speak to people? I've never heard him before, even though I listen from my heart. Well, that's a great question. How can we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, the scripture is the same. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are one. So God speaks to us through the Bible, through the Word of God. And I look for, like, the things that God said to Jesus. I start with that. Like, what are the things that we know God said to Jesus? The first thing God said to Jesus was, "You are my beloved son," at least the first thing we have recorded in the Bible. "You are my beloved son, and you am well pleased." So I receive that as a word from the Holy Spirit to me. God loves me as his son, just like he loves Jesus as his son. The way to listen to the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is always encouraging you. He's always breathing faith into you. He's always the author of love in your life, hope, and faith. So if you hear a voice that doesn't sound like faith, or it doesn't sound like hope, or it doesn't sound like love, it's not the Holy Spirit. Listen for the little things. "I love you, my child. You are my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased. You're my beloved daughter, and you I'm well pleased." You say, "Yeah, but I'm not Jesus." But when you're born again, when you accept Jesus into your life, as he is, so are you in this world. Well, I know today's session has gone a little bit longer than some of the others. I hope you're encouraged. Listen to all or some of this. Be encouraged by it. Turn it off if it's boring you. Send it to somebody if you enjoy it. I want to encourage you. This is Holy Week, from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. Friday, we're having a communion service online at 7 p.m. Central Time from Life Changers Church. We want you to join. I want you to join me and have communion with me. And if you'd like to come by the church and pick up communion, we will have CDC guidelines. Abiding by the CDC guidelines, we're going to hand out unopened, untouched by human hands, communion elements from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you're in the Chicago area, we'll hand out the communion elements, and you can go home or you can stay in your car. You can watch our online service wherever you are. And but you can get, I'll be passing out communion elements with our pastoral team. We're going to be passing out communion elements at both of our locations now. We added our city location. What is the time that will be?
10 to 2
on Friday. We'll be handing out communion elements at our city campus on 15th and Loomis in Chicago. And from 3 to 5 p.m. on Good Friday, we'll be handing them out with gloves and masks, all that. So you'll be safe, and we will keep our distance, and we'll pray for you. If you like, between those hours, please. And I know some people have said, "Can we have a drive-in service?" And we've thought about all these things. We've looked and thought, and you know what? I just want to stick with the guidelines for now and be err on the safe side and crush this virus now Let's crush this thing. There's going to be a grand reopening of churches in America at some point soon, and socially gathering at one point soon. But let's just keep joining online and take advantage of this time to reprioritize your life. And I'll talk to you more about that tomorrow. I love you guys. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same channel, and send it to a friend, invite a friend. And I'll have Bible study with you tomorrow night as well, our regular Bible study night, Wednesday night, as well as the afternoon. We'll have some one-on-one time as well. All right, God bless. I love you guys. Check out our website and check out all that we're doing for you online. We're here for you. God bless.